Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to Seattle Sports Leader.
Yes, sir!
93.3 KJR-FM Seattle.
An iHeartRadio station. Available everywhere on our free iHeartRadio app. Number one for music, radio, and podcasts all in one.
All right, final hour of the radio program. It's Puck and the Go-To Guy with you here on a What's Up With That Wednesday. You can always listen to us on the, old school radio, 93.3 KJR FM. Thank you for making the switch over to the FM dial. On the iHeartRadio stream at 93.3 KJR FM. The website, 93.3KJR.com. If you're on Alexa and Google, you say, hey, Alexa and Google, play 93.3 KJR FM. And boom, away you go. Or you can just say, play Sports Radio 93.3. And boom, you got it. Speaking of the website at 93.3KJR.com, go there now. We have got the Major Golf Challenge, PGA Championship Edition. Got to get that in before tomorrow, before they tee off tomorrow. Log on to 93.3KJR.com. Select the golfer in each of the groupings and tell you you've predicted the top performers of all nine groupings in the tournament. And the person with the lowest score will win a round of golf for four at Gamble Sands. It's golf season at Gamble Sands with new golf carts that include GPS, the best course conditions they've ever had, and the new par 3 course. You need to get there now. Book your tee time and stay at GambleSands.com. Headlines brought to you by Buddies, Goodies, and Glass. You know what they tell you, Buddies, Jim? It's always 420. Always 420, Buddies.
I was getting ready to say it's totally time.
Mariners, they lose last night to the Blue Jays 3-0. It's the sixth time they have been shut out this season. They're 16-21, eight games back in the American League West. But they, the good news last night was Logan Gilbert was sharp, seven innings, three earned runs, nine Ks in that game. Just had one bad inning. That was in the second inning, and that's it. Charlie Montoya, the manager of the Blue Jays, said this after the game about Gilbert. I usually don't give guys credit, but he's got good stuff. That's one of the best arms I've seen in this league. We battled to get three runs, but that pitching was outstanding. Marco Gonzalez handed the ball today, 1-4, but 3.38 ERA. Kevin Gausman, one of the best pitchers in the American League right now, 3-2 with a 2.40 ERA. Minor league action last night. Kyle Lewis went 2-for-4 with five ribbies. He had a three-run home run, a double. Jared Kelnick went 1-for-5. And the Rainiers won. Lewis in his last seven games on that rehab, 357 with OPS of 1.150. A couple of doubles, three home runs, and 11 ribbies. Also, Emerson Hancock made his debut this season. The outstanding pitcher has been shut down a couple of times with shoulder and arm issues. Down there for the Travelers in Arkansas. 1 1/3, two hits, one earned run, one walk, and two Ks there for Emerson Hancock. Also, you want this little note on the Rainiers last night, and they beat Sacramento 8-3. Did you know, I didn't know this until I saw from Curto, that was the first game that they used an automatic umpire.
I heard that last night. Heard something about that. Well, yeah, we'll see how that goes. Are you on board with it completely?
I am. Yeah.
I wonder how the timing is.
Curto said that was the one thing in his news and notes. If you go to Curto's Twitter handle, let me get it for you. I want to make sure I got it right because he writes up a game recap or a preview, kind of a game notes for the Rainiers at Curto World. He said that was the one thing. That one thing that you would notice is just there's a slight delay. Just a slight delay. It's not too bad, though. It's not too bad. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of a delay. He says, I don't think the average fan would know.
If you're an umpire, would you be okay with that?
I think
it's basically telling you you're not very good at your job, and that's why we're doing this.
I think they're better than people give them credit for, but I also think there's a technology that shows you what the strike zone is. Use it. Just use it.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it. Because strike zones change. That's what I think I don't like, and it's been a part of the game forever, but the strike zones change from one umpire to the next. there's nothing real consistent
okay.
about it.
You know, I'm old school and stuff.
I know you are.
Okay, but here's the thing. Are we completely eliminating now? Have we wiped off the face of the earth a manager arguing with an umpire? Because I think we have.
Because he would have
I think
to
we
argue.
Have. What else is there to argue now? Because calls at the bases, you can go to replay.
Yeah.
Balls and strikes, you can't argue with the
computer.
That's
true. Like, who do you argue with? Like, I think the manager said that.
Yeah, you can't argue anymore.
Yeah.
Or you can if you want, but like, what's the ump going to say to you? Well, you know, you're going to have to take it up with the computer.
Well, let's ask our next guest. Let's see what he wants to do.
Okay.
Joining us right now. From Toronto, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together. Your favorite shortstop he wears, number three, is number one in your program. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the show, J.P. Crawford. J.P., how are you, sir?
Yo, what's going on? Thanks for having me on, guys.
Oh, man, we are thrilled to have you. Can I get something out of the way? It's not even a question. It's just a comment, okay? Jim, my partner over here, has got two boys, twins, that are 18 years old. They've been baseballers since they're how old, Jim? Six?
Oh, since they were five or six, and in fact, they JP, they just had their birthday April 23rd, and one of my kids, the one thing on his list, the very top of the list, what he wanted, was a JP Crawford jersey.
There you go.
So I got him one of those Sunday cream-colored ones with your name on the back. I imagine, I would think that no matter how old you are, however long you've been in the league, it's got to be cool, isn't it, JP, when you see someone wearing a jersey with your name on it?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely humbling. It's definitely gratifying, too. I just love seeing it everywhere. And, you know, I let you know you really made it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have an 8-year-old who is just now, he's over his head crazy about baseball. And it's happened here in the last year. He's always liked it, but like this last year, he's just gotten just crazy about the sport, loves playing it all the time, can't get enough. I can't take him to the batting cages enough. We can't go play catch enough. And is one of his favorite players, along with Julio Rodriguez, is you. He loves J.P. Crawford. He loves watching you every time you come up to bat. And one of the things, we were at a game, I can't remember how many weeks ago it was. We were kind of sitting kind of pretty close to the first base dugout. And one thing that we noticed is how, and it's a compliment to you, because, that, you know, I know this is your job and it's a profession and you make money and all of it. But the one thing that you've never lost or you seem to understand and grasp is that you're playing a kid's game, and you are like a big kid. Like, I coach my son's team. You act as like these kids that I coach like every night, these 8-year-olds. And your interaction with kids, throwing them the balls, taking time out before the game, is what makes like an 8-year-old son like my kid like love the sport even more. I just wanted to pay that compliment to you because – you know, a lot of major leaguers do it. Some don't, but you take the time out. And I think that pays dividends down the road for a lot of young kids that want to get into the sport.
Oh yeah, no doubt. I know if I was a little kid, if a major league guy, if I was at a game and some guy did that to me, you know, I would like him forever and it would make me fall in love with the game too. So, you know, it doesn't take much. Like you said, I don't even find it doing much. I love doing it, and I just love to make people's nights and like make people's days too.
Did you have something like that when you were a kid at all? I know you grew up a Dodgers fan. Do you recall going to a Dodgers game and having an interaction with someone like that when you were a kid?
Oh no, we had to have binoculars because we were in the boondock seats. But but I always told myself, you know, if you ever make it up there, you know, be that guy to, you know, change a kid's life every day. Right. And you never know, you know, giving him a ball and just interacting, saying what's up, you know, it could change his life.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great perspective. It really is. I just think that it's, you know, that's what gets lost. I know there was a video, you probably seen it. Did you see the video of a couple of weeks ago? It actually happened in Toronto where the kid was a Yankees fan in Toronto, JP, and a guy next to him caught his favorite player is Judge. And the adult caught the home run, gave it to the kid. The kid started crying, and then the next day he met Aaron Judge.
Exactly. That's what it's all about right there. I mean, it gives me goosebumps just thinking about that because that's how it's supposed to be. Yeah.
Hey, JP, let me just ask you. I know you play the game for fun, but, I mean, you got a big contract and everything. And I imagine what was that like when you signed for that amount of money? I imagine it's just such a game changer, life changer for you.
Oh yeah, it definitely takes a deep breath out of you. Then you go back out there and just go have fun again, and it kind of takes the stress off a little bit. Honestly, you know, you going 0-4 or whatever, going through a little slump, doesn't matter. You know you're going to get out of it, and you're kind of secured in a way. So you keep the positive mentality about it. You keep that strong, and, you know, you're golden. Nothing can stop you.
Well, you're going to need all that money living in this city, I'll tell you that. My God. Jesus. I was telling a story the other day. I took two of my, you know, my son and his buddy out just to go to, like, Wendy's fast food. We dropped $35 on a burger and fries. I'm like, it's fast food.
Hey,
like,
what are we doing? What burgers you guys eating?
Nothing. It was a cheeseburger and fries and a pop. But, I mean, it's just so expensive living here. How's the ankle after you decided to injure yourself last night on purpose? I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you how it happened, but it's good. It's a little sore, but yeah, just going to get taped up. We'll be ready to go.
Good.
Have you ever thought, JP, I'm 64, so I've been around since the Mariners started in 77, and we're all waiting for a World Series berth and hopefully a World Series championship, too. Have you ever thought, you guys talked about your teammates and everything? I mean, you guys would be legends if you were able to pull this off.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And that's still a goal as of right now. You know, a lot of people are, or I see a lot on social media right now about our performance and whatnot. We still got 120, 130 games left to go. You know, we were in this spot last year, too, around this time, and we flipped it around in the summer. And the summer's about to come, so everyone's got to relax. We're fine. We're in a good spot right now mentally in the clubhouse. Our energy is great. And once the weather warms up, I think we're going to warm up, too, just like last year. So we're not worried about nothing.
How much, like, looking back last year when you guys rebounded after that tough stretch and you were able to put yourself into contention, have that last weekend, JP, where this city was a buzz. I mean, Jim and I have been here our entire lives. It's been a long time since you've had that type of energy inside this city. I mean, there was once a time, you know, early, you know, 2001, 2, 3, where, you know, nightly it's 40,000 plus over there. From that point last year now to this year, you lose a clubhouse leader in Kyle Seager. Everyone's seen the video, how emotional you guys were on the field when he came off, especially you, and you've talked about that in a number of interviews, what Kyle Seager meant to you. What did you learn from Kyle that you have taken to this year to translate into being that clubhouse leader for this squad?
The biggest thing I learned from Seager is how he led by example. You know, he's out there every day taking BP, taking ground balls, and he has 10 years in the big leagues. He doesn't have to do that, and he doesn't have to do a lot of the things he did for our team. But yeah, he led by example. He wasn't the hoorah guy, the type of leader, but he led by example, and everyone followed how he prepared himself for each day and how he, you know, just handled himself on a daily basis.
Do you, JP, do you stay in touch with him now? How's he doing? Does he still give you pointers to this day?
Oh, yeah, I talk to him all the time. He's coaching his kids right now, baseball and softball. And, yeah, he has a farm, so he's loving that right now. And he's just really enjoying life right now.
Well, that's good. J.P. Crawford is with us in Toronto. We appreciate him having spending some few minutes with us here on 93.3 KJR-FM. I'm surprised we're like 8 minutes into the interview. We haven't asked him about the dogs. Jim over here is a huge dog fan. We both are. I've got two dogs. Jim's got two dogs. Do you have five dogs? Did we read that correctly?
Between me and my wife's family, yes.
How many are in your house at one time?
So in my house, me and my wife's house, we currently have three right now. And three huskies, and they're all related. And then my family's house, they have two huskies, which are all related as well. And then at my brother-in-law's house, they have a husky, the dad, who started it all.
Like, are you trying to do the Iditarod in Alaska? Like, what are you doing?
You know, like, no, honestly, it started off back in 2013 when I met my wife. They had two huskies, and then they had a litter of nine. And then I kept two puppies from that, two brothers, Loki and Thor. And then, like, a year or two later, we bought another one, or my family bought one. And then one of my Loki, and then the one at my parents' house, they had puppies, and then my parents kept one. And then, yeah, it's just a big old family tree. Yeah. It's really confusing.
No, yeah, I like it. I like it.
What, JP, what about the breed do you like the most?
Honestly, their, like, loyalty and their loviness, and then they could really flip on a switch in a second and be ready to kill something. I love it.
Describes you, JP, right now.
They could be cuddling on your lap, and then they hear something outside, and then they just go. Their instincts take over, and it's really cool, honestly.
It's probably pretty fun when you come home from a road trip and walk in that front door.
Oh, yeah, I get tackled, I get licked, I get bit. I love it. Yeah, I can't wait for it.
See, now you're like, so we're all in agreement. We Jim and I can never understand how people can't like dogs. We don't get it.
Yeah, I don't think they're human I don't know. I don't get that either.
See? That's what I'm talking. Did you ever blink? Did they have a bark in the park night already at T-Mobile?
They did. They've had one.
Oh. Did your wife bring the dogs at all?
No, she did last year. But with three huskies, which are all basically weigh as much as her, it's kind of hard.
Yeah. How much money do you spend a month on dog food?
Oh, man. I couldn't even tell you. Yeah.
That's a lot of change.
All right, JP.
No, it's not too bad.
Yeah. Okay. JP, you got married in the off season, I understand. Were you traditional? Were you old school? Did you get down on one knee? Can you describe how that went for us?
When I proposed?
When you proposed.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, I got down on one knee. I think I proposed back in 17 or 18.
Oh, it was a long time ago. Okay.
Yeah, COVID delayed us a couple of years, but it all worked out for the better.
Okay.
But, yeah, we got married down in Dana Point, and surprisingly nothing went wrong, and it was the best day of my life by far.
Dana Point is like the best place in the world. It's gorgeous down there. Did you ask the dad permission first?
Oh, yeah, the dad and her mom. Yes, I asked both of them.
Oh, look at this.
Yeah, nice.
A throwback. Our producer.
Only one way to do it.
That's right. Our producer, Chris, JP, he's been with his girlfriend for how long, Chris? 10 years?
Going on 10.
Going on 10 years. Like, at some point, we think he's going to ask her to marry her, but we don't know yet. He still hasn't figured out if it's right.
It's all part of it. You know, if he's not ready, he's not ready. Yeah. I don't know. He'll know when the time's right.
Hey, what? There was a really cool on your Twitter account at JP_Crawford from a few weeks ago. A picture of, and I want to know more about the story, the background, what he meant to you. Picture of your grandfather, I believe, 89 years old. He's holding up a bat, and it's you, I think, hitting a home run. And I think it was his birthday. Tell us, who is he? What his name, and what does he mean to you? I thought it was a really cool picture that you put out there.
He's everything. His name's John Reek. I think it's probably where I got my John from. Okay. But, yeah, it was his 89th birthday, and he was with my family. They were just watching the game. Him and my aunt watch every game, I think. They're probably my biggest fans. And, yeah, I don't know. My mom sent me that picture of him on the bat. So I can only imagine him trying to swing, trying to hit like me or something.
And then,
Really cool.
Yeah, JP, speaking of your mom, Daniel Kramer, MLB.com, wrote a terrific Mother's Day story and about how important of a role your mom played in your life. She dealt with throat cancer when you were a teenager. And I love what you wrote, JP. I mean, you said, there's no one I'd rather play for more than the woman who raised me. Love you, Mom. You're the real MVP. So, I mean, the relationship with your mom, I feel so fortunate. My mom's 92 years old to still have her in my life. And, yeah, it was great to read that.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah, you never know when this earth could take somebody, anyone. It could happen today. You never know, so. You got to live every day like it's your last.
I want to go back to what you talked about, I think, in the beginning of the interview about not taking it for granted, JP, about every time you go out on the field because you don't know who's watching you, what kid is watching you. I want you to expand on why that is so important to you and should be important to others.
Because I've had two very close friends of mine pass away back when I was playing, or just a couple years ago, honestly, and you know, I never thought it could happen to anyone, and it just hit me differently. Like, dang, this could happen to me. This could happen to anyone at any time. So why are you even stressing right now? Like, just go out there, play baseball. You never know. It could be your last game today. So go out there like it's your last.
Do you – like Jim and I mean, I make fun of it. Like, my kids make fun of me. They're like, you do radio. You work 3 hours a day, and, you know, I go to school longer than you actually work, which is true. And what we do here is like fun and games. Like, we just goof off the entire time for 3 hours and talk sports. Like, it's fun. And so I always remind myself that I'm like, we're all pretty lucky. We kind of pinch ourselves that this is what we get to do for a living. Is that do you have to remind you don't seem like the guy that has to remind yourself of that. Do you find yourself going, man, you step out on that field to take BP in Toronto, you go, I can't believe I'm playing Major League Baseball for a living.
Oh, yeah, I say that to myself every day. You know, I would much rather be doing this than working behind the desk, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah, no one wants to be an insurance salesman. If you weren't playing baseball, what would you do? What would J.P. Crawford, where was he going to go if baseball didn't work out?
J.P. Crawford doesn't even know. It was that or nothing, I swear.
You got anything fun? What do you do on your off days? I think Mariner fans would like to know what J.P. Crawford does when he's not playing baseball and has that rare off day.
Ooh, the goal is not to leave my house.
Okay.
But it's honestly whatever the wife wants to do.
Okay.
Yeah, take my wife out. We'll go have a nice dinner. And honestly, I just want to hang out with my dogs, take them on a walk, play with them, and catch up on some Netflix.
Okay, some yeah. Netflix. All right.
All right. The last thing from me, JP, tell me if this is if this fun fact is true or not about you. Are you scared of heights?
No, I'm terrified. I've always been, yes.
We lost him right when he was terrified of heights. See, call him right back, Chris. We got to get that answer. He's terrified of heights. I am too. I don't like him. I don't like him.
You don't like him?
No, I hate him. I'm not a fan of it. Like, I can't walk past. Like, I remember last time, like two summers ago, we were at Deception Pass. I got like halfway across the bridge. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm going to turn around.
You turned around?
Yeah.
Even though you were halfway. Oh, halfway. Well, you had to go all the way back
I just couldn't do it. I'm like, you know what? No, I'm good.
I don't mind heights.
I don't like it one bit.
Yeah. So if you go up the Space Needle, you get kind of freaked out a little
bit?
Like
looking over?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Well, and they got the glass floor up there now. Yeah.
Let's hey JP, you kind of cut out on the on us there. What the heights thing? Where does that come from? Being scared of heights?
Yeah, sir. I don't know what just happened.
It's all good.
But yeah, I don't know. I've just always been terrified of them. Just leaning over,
yeah,
an edge. Always, it just scares the hell out of me. I'm not about it at all.
I'm with you. I don't like. So when you take the wife out, have you got a favorite restaurant or some restaurants you guys like to go to?
In Seattle, yeah, El Gaucho. I really like El Gaucho. That's my spot.
Okay. Try, I don't know where you live. We're not asking you to pick where you or tell us where you live. I'm going to assume the east side. John Howie Steak. If you like steak places, John Howie Steak's a good joint too.
Yeah, John Howie's? Yeah. Is that in Bellevue or what?
It's in Bellevue, yep. Yep.
Okay, John and Howie's. I got to look that up.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, there's a bunch of restaurants here. Do you take the dogs anywhere, like any dog parks at all? Hey, there's J.P. Crawford. He's at a dog park. It's like the Us magazine. They're just like us. They play with their dogs in a park.
Yeah, we used to, but we haven't really had much time this year to get them out yet.
Oh, that's true.
You know, probably in the summer we'll start taking them out and whatnot.
You mean you don't like taking your dogs out when it's 40 degrees, pouring rain every single day in Seattle? That doesn't do it for you?
Nah, they love it, though.
Hey,
best of luck, JP, yep. Because I got to tell you, man, when my kid opened up that present and saw that JP jersey, you should have seen the look on his face. So you really made his day.
Dang, appreciate that. Dang, that makes my day too, hearing that.
Yeah, keep it up, man. Turn it around. I know you guys, we're all hoping you guys are going to turn this thing around starting tonight, taking on the Blue Jays, finishing up that series, and then the Red Sox. Everyone's pulling for you in town. You know what it was like at the end of the season last year, how much people are just starving for you guys to get this turned around and become winners. I know you guys are too. Hey, we really do appreciate the time carving it out on a game day. Thanks so much. Good luck tonight.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Yep, there he is. J.P. Crawford, shortstop for your Seattle Mariners. You can follow him on Twitter, JP_Crawford. Five dogs, so three in the house, three huskies too.
Yeah.
They're massive.
Yeah, they're busy there.
Loki and Thor. How about that? No, did he say three or two? So I think just two of them in the household. But Loki and Thor.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, that was fun talking.
Good guy, man. He's, like I'm telling you, he's
having a great season.
If you got kids and you want to just see, and I'm sure there's many Mariner fans out there who are you know, a mom or a dad, take your kids down first baseline, get as close as you can to the dugout, and just watch him. Watch him interact with kids. It's unbelievable. There's no one, I have never seen anyone in all the years watching baseball with the Mariners that does it better than this guy. He just, every moment, he's taking out his time and looking for kids, throwing balls, interacting with them. And the other guy that's great at it, too, is Julio. Julio's sensational.
Well, they get it. Yeah. They get it. And they remember being that age.
Yeah. You just don't know the impression that you make on a young kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just, you got them for life. Got them for life. And they're hook, line, and sinker. My kid will forever be a J.P. Crawford fan. You can't say anything bad about J.P. Crawford around him.
Yeah.
Because he loves him that much.
Yeah. No. And he's what? He's hitting over 300?
Right. He's doing great. Yeah. Appreciate the Mariners. Thank you to Kelly Monroe, Mariners, and J.P. Crawford for the time. Rex Hoggard, Golf Channel, live from Tulsa, Oklahoma, site of the PGA Championship next.
Hello. It is Ryan. And I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me. And you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Our thanks to the Mariners and J.P. Crawford for spending a few minutes with us. All right, let's get a little golf preview. Let's head to Tulsa, Oklahoma, Southern Hills Country Club. Joining us right now on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. He does so many, many times, especially when we get into major weeks. It's Golf Channel reporter Rex Hoggard with us right now. Rex, how are you, sir? Appreciate you joining us today.
You pointed out you only have me on major weeks. You don't call me the week of the Zurich Classic. It's only the PGA Championship that you have any interest. Wonder why that is.
Well, we can call you on those. We can call you every week for a tournament. We'd love to have you on every week. I mean, Jim and I love golf, and we love talking about it. Let's start with certainly the biggest story. I mean, how odd is it to not have the defending champion, Phil Mickelson, there?
It's amazing that that's the biggest story. And I'm not even, like, questioning you on it. You're right. It's the biggest story, and it's about a guy that's not here. It's funny, we just had to do punch shots for our website, and we always do biggest disappointment. And for me, it's like the easiest one I've ever had to fill in. It's Phil Mickelson, because this was supposed to be a celebration of what he did last year at Kiowa, which was, I feel like, one of the greatest accomplishments, certainly in my golf lifetime, and I'm pretty sure in the history of the game, to win a major championship at 50 years old, to do it on that golf course with the flair, and to do it the perfectly Phil Mickelson kind of way. And now, I mean, as recently as 3 months ago, we were all looking forward to getting here and celebrating that accomplishment. And now, look where we are. Phil's in some sort of self-imposed exile for reasons that you can't really put your finger on. It feels like professional golf is sort of standing at the precipice of what seems like it's going to be a sea change, whatever direction we're going to head. I mean, I don't think anyone could have seen it coming.
Hey, Rex, we saw Tiger's comments relating to Phil Mickelson, but what do you think the general sentiment is from tour players about Mickelson and the Saudi Tour?
I said this earlier in the week, that Phil's always been a polarizing figure, and he's never really been one of the most popular guys in the locker room. I know America loves him, and I know a lot of people are fans of Phil for all the right reasons. Like, I will still respect what he has done for the game and in the game. But he kind of carried himself in a way that he didn't make a lot of friends in the locker room. But I was amazed talking with players ever since I got here on Monday that even though this is all self-inflicted and whatever it is that he's going through right now, it's completely of his own making, there is a sense of not sympathy, but empathy. That, going back to what I said, this was supposed to be sort of his walk-off. I mean, he's got plenty more years in the game, but it's hard to imagine him accomplishing something greater than this. And not having him at Augusta, that kind of felt a little surreal because he wasn't at the Champions Dinner and that place is so connected to Lefty. Not having him here, that just felt sad.
Rex Hoggard is with us from the Golf Channel, excellent reporter for the Golf Channel. You see him all over your television screen. You can follow him on Twitter, at Rex Hoggard GC. All right, speaking of Tiger Woods, what type of chances do you give him this week?
I think he was going to make the cut, but it's going to be difficult. And the reason I said that is that I kind of said the same thing at Augusta, and we were talking about, you know, what's a successful week, and I said 72 holes upright is a successful week. And I'll say the same thing here, and I think there has been progress. I mean, hearing Tiger talk to the media yesterday, watching him on the range, watching him on the course this week, there have been gains. It seems like the leg is stronger. He has more endurance. I still don't know if he's anywhere close to being the Tiger Woods that won here back in 2007. I don't know that he ever gets back to that, if we're being honest. However, that being said, he knows his golf course, and I think he can manage his game. I guess the most important part is what he touched on yesterday. He played two decent rounds, really pretty good rounds, considering everything he had been through at Augusta. And then he admitted it. Like, he just ran out of endurance, just ran out of steam on the weekend. And if he can't find a way to sort of bottle that up and to change that narrative, it's going to be even more difficult here because it's hot, it's humid, it's another humid, it's another difficult walk. It could be tough.
Boy, I just I looked at the course and I'm thinking par 70, 7,566 yards. What do you anticipate the winning score being, like 5 under or something like that? Is this going to be like a U.S. Open?
I think a little bit more than that. Tiger won here in 2007 at 8 under. I think something around there is probably a good pick. And the reason I say that is it's been perfect weather. If you set up golf courses for a living, this is the kind of weather you're dreaming about. Kerry Hague with the PGA of America, this is what all of his dreams are at night when he's sleeping away in his PGA of America bed. This is what he wants to see when he's setting up a golf course, because he can make the golf course as firm and as fast and the greens as fast as he possibly wants. And the only restrictor is what he decides to do. Now you fast forward, there's going to be a cold front that comes through Friday night. And that's going to soften the golf course. There's going to be some rain. The temperature is going to be in the 60s. So I imagine the first two rounds will be that sort of grind that you saw. It will be, I wouldn't imagine we're going to see many cards in the 60s through the first two rounds. But over the weekend, I think there will be a reprieve, both in the weather and the way that the scoring goes.
Rex, besides Tiger winning, I mean, the media dream, right, I would assume would be Jordan Spieth completing the career Grand Slam. Where is he at right now in the state of his game as he heads into tomorrow?
It's really good. I asked him today, like, he's had this ability to win the career Grand Slam at the PGA Championship for a couple of years now. But if I kind of go back and look, I don't know that he's ever been in this good of form or showing this kind of confidence. He did win last week in Dallas, but he put himself into contention. He did all the things that you want to see. And for the first time, I think I got the stat right, in 2 months, he actually finished the week in positive on strokes gained putting. So whatever it is he was doing on the greens is a move step in the right direction. Now, talking with Jordan, I still think he is in flux. You still get the idea that there's things about his swing that he's just not terribly confident with. And it still looks like that practice swing is sort of a coloring by numbers situation. You can tell that he's not entirely happy with that. But if you look at his results, if you look at the way he's playing statistically, this would be a really good bet for him to do exactly that. It's worth pointing out that no one has ever completed the career Grand Slam at the PGA Championship. So it would be an interesting note in history.
Have you ever seen a worse practice swing from a professional golfer? I just watch that and I'm going, man, the guy looks like me, and then he hits great shots. His actual swing doesn't look anything like his practice swing.
I don't know that I've seen a worse practice swing in an amateur golfer than a professional golfer. I mean, it's bad. It's painful to watch.
Yeah, it is. I'm with
what
you.
What does he say that accomplishes for him?
He does not really get into too many specifics because of what he's gone through the last 2 years. I think he has found that, and he's always open and honest with the media. He probably feels like sometimes he says too much. He probably does sometimes. I mean, sometimes feels like he's shot full of sodium pentothal. So in this particular case, he's kind of playing it a little bit closer to the vest, I think. But the general idea, talking with people who know the swing, is he's trying to get a little bit more flat. And because he got steep over the years, and that created a very, very inconsistent ball flight. So he's trying to go back to sort of the feels he had when he first turned pro.
Okay, Rex, I'm sick enough to have bet on 17 different golfers to win this tournament. I want to see if you pick one of my 17 when you tell us who's going to win.
Field.
Who will win this thing, Rex Hoggard?
Wow, 17. I'm not saying you have a problem, but... I mean, there are people who can help with that type of thing.
Well, I just, you
know,
he's
got a problem, Rex.
Like, I got $5 on Connors, you know, at 60-1. Finau at $5 at 60-1. I kind of like Homa, though. His odds are decent. But who do you like?
Homa was my dark horse. I don't know if he qualifies, and I think we qualified at dark horses outside the top 25 in the world ranking. And he was qualifying. I covered his victory 2 weeks ago at the Wells Fargo Championship, and he's doing everything really well right now. And I think he's finally starting to understand how good he is. Because I think there has always been this gap between people who know the game and know him and what he thinks he should be able to accomplish in this part of his career. He's never really played well in a major, but I can see him having a very good week simply because everything is there for that to happen. He wouldn't be my winner straight out of the gate. I think I'm going to lean back into Scottie Scheffler until he sort of falls off whatever this pedestal is that he's on right now, and eventually he will. Right now I'm hoping he enjoys it, and I hope we can just enjoy it. He's won 4 out of the last 8 starts, including the Masters. And he comes back to a golf course that he played a lot in college. He went to the University of Texas. He's playing on grasses that he's very familiar with, and the way it's set up, it's perfect for his game. So I'm going with Scotty.
Yeah. Hey, Rex, we appreciate the time, as always. We love having you on. We could have you on every single tournament if you like. And thank you so much for making that last-minute a switch, just taking our listeners behind the scenes. Rex was going to join us at noon, then we got JP on. I said, hey, can you move? He said, yeah, no problem. So we appreciate you doing that, Rex, and carving out a few minutes for us today. It should be an exciting PGA Championship, and we'll watch all of your coverage and check out everything there on the Golf Channel. Make sure you follow Rex at Rex Hoggard GC there on Twitter. Till the next time we talk. Thanks, Rex.
Appreciate it, guys. See ya.
There he is, Rex Hoggard, a fantastic reporter there for the Golf Channel. If you've seen any images of the golf course, it just looks sensational and amazing and fun. It's going to be a fun week. Be a fun week to see if Tiger, what Tiger can do. I'm pulling for Jordan, one, because I bet on him, and two, I would like to see him accomplish the career Grand Slam. The sport's better when he's relevant. I'd also like to see Rory get back into the winner's circle. It's been too long for Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, well, Tiger, Rory, and Spieth playing in the same group at 6:11 our time tomorrow morning.
We have some breaking news. We can talk to Ian about this. The Pac-12 has announced a change to their football championship format. Announced today that it will determine the teams that will qualify with the two highest conference winning percentages will face off in the championship game. So they've done away with the divisions. Starting this year. So, Cougs and Ducks. All right. Sounds good to me. That's about what everyone's going to predict.
Plowing ahead.
Coming up next.
Ian Furness.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Coach, I'll just tell it like it is. A lot of lack of discipline, at least in the first half here.
Who made you the coach?
No one.
All right. Furness is waiting, getting burning up his hot take starting at 1 o'clock. And I'm sure he'll be all over this Pac-12 story. Did you know that they've made the changes so the two teams with the highest winning percentage in the conference will now play for the Pac-12 title game? They just made the decision today. It had been rumored about a couple weeks ago they were going to do this. And it will be for this upcoming season. It would have changed 5 of the previous 11 championship games, including the 2018 championship game that was Washington and Utah. It would have been the Apple Cup.
Part two.
And we would have extracted our revenge. Which game was that one that we lost by 100?
Every one of them until last year.
But which one was that one specifically?
2018. Yeah, so what would that have been? That would have been in Pullman,
that was
right?
The Minshew tears meme thing, right?
Was that Minshew?
2018. It feels like, yeah, it was Minshew in the rain and
snow.
Oh,
we would have had Minshew would have come back in a big way, leading to victory, 27-19.
How about this? Play somewhere where it wasn't raining and snowing with the air raid in November.
We outscored them in the snow. You know that, right?
Did we?
Yeah.
How did we lose a game?
Well, we scored more points. When it started snowing, we scored more than they did.
Yeah, but it was rainy and gone.
I know,
awful.
But everyone had a plane. We stopped using that excuse.
I'm not using an excuse. I'm just saying, like, that's not a good offense for that thing. And, I mean, it was – give me a – there was always a year that there was something catastrophic with our team going on, whether it's a four-string quarterback. That weather was awful for him and them. And, I mean, the Peyton Bender game, my God. I mean, it's – We finally got him in the crosshairs last year.
Peyton Bender.
I am one.
Remember that? Husky Stadium?
I think
remember
that? If it were 60-70 that year, we would have lost.
I don't know. Give me. I want to win.
I mean, Myles Gaskin had 200 like something yards rushing.
Was that Hercules? Was he still playing then?
Had he made his
ill-fated decision to go become an undrafted free agent and not get drafted?
But that would have been a rematch.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So you like it? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Well,
on this.
Here's the stupid thing about this.
Uh-oh.
We didn't need to bring in Colorado and Utah after all. Can we kick them out again?
Sure.
Because that's the only reason they're in the conference is because the NCAA had the whole rule to have divisions and to have
a title game
and all that kind of stuff, right?
Get them out, Ian.
So let's kick them out. I say send them packing. Go. You know what? Utah, you go find where BYU's hanging out these days in the Big 12, and Colorado, go see if the Big 12 will take your ass back, because we don't need you. We're done.
So who are we playing, USC or Oregon?
In the title game?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be an upset. I think that
Herm's, the Beavs.
I think Herm's going to cheat his way into an Arizona State.
Oh, really?
No, I'm just kidding.
We get a.
You know who I want?
Who?
I want Arizona.
Oh, get Delora again?
Hell yeah! Plant this fella. Plant this, my
God,
guy.
That game is going to be so much fun. I hope he's the quarterback still. I would assume he is. But
is that the last weekend?
Yeah, before the Apple Cup.
Before the Apple Cup.
Yeah. In Tucson. God, he's going to be fired up for it.
Well, the thing with him is it, you know, it's going to be one or the other. He's going to have a great game, or he's going to have one of those, I'm going to force every throw, yeah. And, you know, just.
It's going to be wild.
Maybe he's not the quarterback, though, by then.
Yeah, I guess.
Don't they have other dudes? Maybe it could be Gunnar Cruz.
I don't think it's going to be Gunnar Cruz.
It could be the battle of the former Cougar backups, man.
I think he's going to be the guy.
Be the battle of the former Coug backups. And so who's going to come in there and play? I mean, I just, hey.
Are you golfing today?
I'm going to, yeah, look, it's sunny out.
You got your golf attire on.
We got our Wednesday golf week, Puck. I got to, you know, I mean, we got to get out there and, you know, I'm going to make sure I putt.
Hey, do you putt out?
No, listen.
Or do you play the game the right way?
I'm going to sound very Switzerland-like here, but I think it just depends. I don't think there's any general consensus. Sometimes it makes sense to putt out. Sometimes it doesn't.
And I agree with that.
Right?
But okay. He thinks it's not. He thinks there's only one way to play.
I do want to play with your guy that wants to go good from 6 feet. I'd like to play with that
guy. That's my buddy Ass Man.
Yeah.
Since when is it not okay to finish? I mean, I wouldn't finish if I was in somebody's line.
That's what she said in the Tacoma.
But when I take my first putt.
Right.
And I say, I'll finish.
Right.
That just means that I'm going to finish. And it doesn't matter if, you know, my putt's outside, you know, Joe's or whatever.
Right.
I don't see anything wrong with that. And I'm going to die on that one.
Well, Puck brought it up earlier. What's the limit? Like if it's just kind of like a fairly easy, just finish it off within, you know, 3 or 4 feet or something like that. And you just want to keep it going. I can see that. If it's like a long one. Don't you think you kind of, wouldn't you want to kind of take a step back and take a deep breath?
No, because my feeling is that all the times I've made that comebacker and all the times I've missed, I would have done the same thing if I had more time.
Every time I hit like the 3-footer that's so like, I'll just finish it off, I inevitably miss it.
You're by a lot. You're 10 feet away. I know we got to go. Okay. And it's, let's say like past the holes, it goes downhill. Let me ask you, let's say you putt, you miss it. It rolls off towards the fringe like 20 feet away. Are you still going to putt out?
Yes.
All right, Ian, what do you got coming up on the show today?
Oh, God.
I paused anyway.
I've never played with Jim. I want to play with Jim one of these
days.
He's
great. He's
fun.
I bet he's a fun guy to play with.
Oh, yeah.
You are.
I mean, we're drinking Coors Lights and
you're
hanging
fun.
Out, right?
Yeah, we'd be
doing that.
19th hole always exists. Yeah. That's all that matters to me. Boy, thanks to you guys. We have the most predictable soundbite ever. I love it. Thank you, J.P. Crawford. It's another version of It's Early. You guys predicted he would say it, and damn it, didn't he ever. Bucky's going to join us at 2.
Okay.
But we'll look at how it doesn't matter if it's early. They're still in massive trouble. So we'll touch on that. This NCAA stuff's huge. Not just that, but the scholarships as well. So that should have a big impact on our schools in the state. We'll talk about that too.
Okay, Ian's coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow. Promise to be better.
No shirt, no shoes, no ties.
Anybody like to smoke some pot?
I was born to love you. I was born to lick your face. I was born to rub you. But you were born to rub me first.
What do you need my address for? We'd like to send out a mailer.
Mother of mercy, I don't speak Japanese!
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing, and now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.